here with Robert Eiler from Redwood Credit Union, right? And you were just walking by and say, hey, what's going on? Say, hey, come on in. Let's talk about what you're experiencing at the show here. How's it going so far?
It's been good. You know, I came last year to Belfast. Mm-hmm. And so I think the contrast here is just to see, it seems like there's more African and South American credit union mm-hmm. presence here than it was last year in Belfast.
You're right, yeah.
Yeah, so I just got done moderating the technology and growth panel.
Oh, did you? Okay.
Yeah, and so we had, because one of the guys who spoke is a Brazilian guy, half the crowd was from Brazil.
Oh, really?
But it was intriguing to hear about how technology formation, specific to credit unions and fintech, is different outside the United States than inside the United States.
How so?
Well, for example, their description was one more of a more collaborative environment.
Good.
And in the United States, mm-hmm. the larger you get, the less likely you are to collaborate on technology because mm-hmm. the speed at which it moves, mm-hmm. the marketplaces are just different, mm-hmm. you know. And so, you know, as an economist, one of my things I try to, you know, temper a little bit was actually jumping in and talking about the nature of the environment in the United States and how big banking drives a lot of the technology needs, and then the larger credit unions just kind of remain in terms of customer loyalty, have mm-hmm. to, you know, kind of stay at the same pace of the larger banks, and the smaller ones can easily get left behind. So it could be, and this is something that came up during the panel, it could be a trigger for more consolidation as technology outpaces the ability of a small to medium-sized credit union to stay with that. Mm-hmm. And does that mean that either they have to come in a collaborative form and deal with that technology, or does it mean they have to merge? Mm-hmm. Because they won't be able to serve, they'll be sort of an organic loss because they can't stay up on the technology.
Mm-hmm, mm-hmm. Yeah, that's scary because technology is moving so fast these days, especially for the smaller credit unions who may not have the resources to keep up.
Yeah.
That's a great point, great point. Is there a solution to that? I mean, should the larger credit unions step in and help out, or?
Also, to that point, right, is that, you know, if you look at how co-op works, mm-hmm. right, I think co-op is in place, you know, at a 5,000 foot level to deal with exactly the situation. Say, look, you know, you don't have to worry about payment systems issues, right? We've got that nailed. So if, you know, if you're a smaller credit union, let's say there's 4,000 that could jump into that pool, then go ahead, right? And we're here in a collaborative way, in a cooperative way to do that.
Right.
And so it's a real kind of strange dichotomy in the industry where you have cooperative firms mm-hmm. who may not be cooperative in the marketplace mm-hmm. because they're facing sort of two different market pressures. A small credit union serving the members, kind of delivering core services, where a larger credit union, Redwood Credit Union being an example of this, has to keep pace, almost like in a banking environment, recognizing that it has the same core values as a $100 million credit mm-hmm, union would.
Mm-hmm.
So that's just seeing it through that lens. I don't know if there's a solution that's, let's sort of say, a panacea for the problem, because mm-hmm. at the end of the day, I think a lot of it's size driven.
Yeah.
I think, and that's why I asked the question as a moderator. I said, you know, is size a big deal? And the Canadian credit union said no. The Brazilian guy said no. Mm-hmm. I said, well, in the U.S., it's almost like fait accompli that if you get past a certain place, you might outpace the ability of someone, an organization like Co-op, to actually deliver everything you need, mm-hmm. or Co-op won't necessarily stay up on the technology as fast as you want it to mm-hmm. do, so you might have to break out and do your own thing.
Mm-hmm.
So, you know, right now it's a ripe time for consultants because there's a lot of business coming in the credit union market just to keep pace technologically
mm-hmm.
if you don't have staff on site.
Oh my gosh. Wow. I mean, this is such a pickle for credit unions right now, especially ones that are a certain, like you said, a certain size. They kind of get up to that, I guess, that level
mm-hmm.
and all of a sudden, okay, we're going to kind of cut you loose. You're on your own. And like, oh my gosh, wait a minute.
Well, we also talked a little bit about the composition of the membership. So if you're looking to move your way down, and I think you'll hear this, generally speaking, a lot of credit unions will say this, we want to move to the younger members. Okay, great.
Well, everybody said that.
Yeah, and if you're not technologically advanced enough, the attractiveness of a younger member mm-hmm. is going to be potentially harmed.
Mm-hmm.
And so how do you, at what size do you have the capital capacity to make an investment
mm-hmm.
that doesn't harm your core mission?
Mm-hmm.
And still keep pace with customers that you want to, you know, especially if you have a strategic node that says we want to have younger mm-hmm. people, right? So that's, that conflict was something that was really brought out in that session.
You should be,
that was a good learning lesson.
You should be in the small credit union forum, because I just had a couple of guests in here from the small credit union forum talking about that very exact same thing.
No kidding.
Yeah.
Yeah. So, and I think it just brought to light that as much as the credit union movement is similar, you know, like we all come together in the plenaries and say, okay, yeah, you know, here are the basic issues. You know, Brian goes up there and says, here's what's going on mm-hmm. and here's how many people there are worldwide.
Mm-hmm.
And it sounds like that we're all kind of in one set of, you know, governed by sort of one set of market rules. And the reality of it is it's very country and market specific. So it's real fascinating industry.
Yeah, especially coming here, then you get a taste of it. You know,
that's the cool thing about coming to Woku, is that you actually get the taste of how diverse it is.
I mean, we can sit in our little United States of America bubble and talk about this stuff, but when you come here and you actually experience it, and that's the really, it's a kind of an eye opener, because last year was my first year at Woku at Belfast as well, and it was a real eye opener for me. I'm like, gosh, why didn't I come here sooner?
Yeah. So it gives you everything on a global scale.
Well, and GAC, in contrast to that, is you get a lot of, you probably have more credit unions at GAC than you do here, at least in the actual number. But there you have a much more uniform set of issues from a regulatory standpoint, because it's all coming from the U.S., right?
Yeah.
So the beauty of this, because the two things I go to, because as a board member, I get to go to conferences, and so one of the things that I try to do now is go to one regulatory conference for the U.S. and Woku if I can,
for you.
Because I think it reminds
they complement each
world.
Other.
They do. I think it's a really nice set to do, and GAC is just a fascinating place to go because it's in D.C. and it's got the whole mix in there. But in terms of coming here, you really hear. I mean, there's credit unions here who are just struggling to, you know, provide for a village in East Africa, right? And that just blows your mind. You know, we're struggling with long-term strategy and how do you go from 250,000 members to 500,000 members and what's up? They're looking to just, you know, take care of
villages.
To make people's lives better. And I think the thing that we lose in all this and the beauty of Woku is that it actually reminds you that at a core level, even if you have 300,000 members, there's three of them that really the credit union is changing their lives fundamentally.
What keeps you awake at night, being on your board member, right?
Uh-huh.
What keeps you awake at night and helping Redwood maintain, keep up cybersecurity, all that type of stuff? What keeps you awake at night?
Well,
in your direction,
amazing run.
You might be sleeping pretty well then.
Yeah, but from a micro standpoint, the organization is doing very, very well in our marketplace. It's been spectacular. Last 5 years have been spectacular. The thing that I think, I'm a macroeconomist, so one of the things that keeps me up at night is how do we go from a relatively low interest rate environment, of course, and we're sort of, the entire world has been in one since the financial crisis, to one in which we actually see, let's say, the planned movement of interest rates up, and how does that squeeze out the smaller players, and does that force more consolidation, really not through a recession, but just through the change in the balance sheet and in the income statement, where, for example, if interest rates rise and cost of funds rise with it, does that now nix my ability as a $250 million credit union to make the technological investment to stay up with everybody, and does it then force a merger faster? So, that won't really affect an organization the size of Redwood, but it will affect, let's say, the regulatory way in which mergers take place and whether or not Redwood and its sort of sister credit unions are asked to take on mergers because there's these other credit unions that are slowly flowing by the wayside as rates rise.
Right.
So that's something more general that I deal with on everyday business. But those are the kind of things that I think about when I think about the future in terms of the larger credit unions in the United States.
And I'm going to switch gears on here, kind of a wrap-up question here for you. What do you want to take back to your credit from here? I mean, obviously you moderated a very important session. So what do you want to take back? Is there anything in particular you're looking for here and you can take back to Redwood and go, hey, let's look at this. Let's think about this.
I think the collaborative piece is key in that while we're moving at a really fast speed, I think the idea that there are potential collaborative solutions out there is a key thing to just remember. So we're having our annual strategy planning thing in August. And so I think if they ask what lessons I learned from this conference, I think that you are seeing cooperative models with varied sizes of organizations. So it's not impossible to do it, and we might all gain from it. In the U.S., because of the nature of how we do business, it's very hard to see cooperation before competition. So that's, I think, just keeping everybody abreast of that and reminded that there's a core cooperative philosophy is key.
Yeah, sometimes we got to be reminded of that.
Yep.
Nothing wrong with that. Rob, thank you so much.
Yeah,
well done.